Yeah. Yeah. Tell me that you're ready for the fantasy, fantasy, fantasy football, friends. Tell me that you're ready for the fantasy, fantasy, fantasy football, friends. Get up your bands. Pick up your wins. We out there league, get in the game and out of the stands. Tell me that you're ready for the fantasy, fantasy, fantasy football, friends. Tell me that you're ready for the fantasy, fantasy, fantasy football, friends.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Fantasy Football Friends podcast. As always, your fearless host right here, Cameron McCoy. Today I'm joined by Elliot. What's up, man?
Hey, what's up, what's up?
Elliot, we're going to be talking some Fantasy Football 101 this fine afternoon. How you feel about that?
101 is perfect for... Now, obviously, I know everything about Fantasy Football.
Oh, yeah.
I love this podcast. I listen to basically every episode, but I'm just going to be sort of playing a character this episode, and we'll see. Who knows very little about fantasy football. Basically, this character has never played fantasy football. Knows a little bit about college football. It's from a college football town.
Great,
Tallahassee.
Yeah.
And FSU. Knows, yes, sir. But never been in a fantasy league. Really, honestly, the first time I heard fantasy football, I thought they were a couple of wizards and a barbarian running around.
That's the typical go-to joke that most shows and stuff make about
we're
it.
We're not going to make that joke.
No. We're highbrow, high class.
That was obviously just a character. Mm. Exactly.
That's okay, though.
That's where I'm at, but I know you have the knowledge.
I like to think that I do.
Knowledge bombs.
Yeah, not you know, WMD bombs, but, you know, still some truth bombs out there, some knowledge.
Some hot takes.
Yeah, little bits and pieces. We're going to walk through that. That's going to be the main, you know, meat and potatoes, as we like to call it on this show, of the episode. Before we get into that, though, you guys know what you're listening to right now. This is the Fantasy Football Friends again. You can always email us at theffbfriends@gmail.com. You can get at us on Twitter at @FFBFriends. Hit us up with those questions or anything that you'd like us to discuss on the podcast, especially if we, you know, do more of these... like fantasy 101s, or, you know, down the line we could have dynasty 101s, things like that. Just basic knowledge intros to questions and stuff. You know, there's nothing too low on the bar or too high on the bar of skill that we're, you know, unwilling to cover on the show. So, you know, the show's here to help you guys get better at this. And, you know, if you're just starting out, or if you've been playing for a couple of years and just need some refreshers, that's what the show's here for. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Love having you guys here. We're going to go ahead and throw it out there. If you're listening on Apple, Spotify, any podcast listening devices, please feel free to subscribe, like, hit us with that 5-star review. We appreciate it. The metrics of how these podcasts work, you know, it's all about getting those reviews so that we get promoted. So yeah, let us know how we're doing. We really appreciate it. With that being said, let's get into the first half kickoff question. I was just thinking, you know, why don't you tell me what you've been playing lately? What kind of video games you've been into lately?
Oh, my last big video game was definitely Elden Ring.
Mm, I think love that.
Probably
yeah.
Played a little bit of that, if not the whole 350-hour experience.
Yeah.
Haven't played much since then. I played a little bit of Salt and Sanctuary, which is maybe Salt and Sacrifice. It's the sequel to. It's like a 2D Elden Ring.
Oh, really?
It's a really indie studio. Just a couple of people made it.
Cool.
Definitely check it out.
Oh, it's is that on like the Play Store? Not
it's
Play Store,
Epic,
but
yeah. And I think it might be on Steam. But yeah, PC.
PC
and
game
probably coming to PlayStation.
Cool. Yeah, I'll have to look into that.
Free plug for them.
Yeah, I mean, hey, they're starting out.
Scott Studios.
Just like we are, always good to helping other
studio. I love this place. I mean,
thank you.
Threatening. This is just for the listeners, but he does have a gun sword in the corner.
Yes,
it's kind of threateningly pointed near me.
Luckily, nobody's made me pull that out. Everybody's been understanding that it's there as a
not
deterrent.
Nobody's even brought it up.
Right.
From what I remember.
Yeah, because they look at it and they're like, oh, I know what'll happen if I steer too far or try to make this a more adult podcast than it's supposed to be. It's always there, just looming.
Okay.
The threat is looming.
It's in the studio.
Yeah. The recording room. It needs some work still. I'm gonna put up a TV back there so that we can put up graphics and stuff once I get into the video side of things.
Yeah, people love watching.
Yeah, that's kind of the next step. Clean the room up, get things posted up on the wall.
Very, very clean, obviously, right now.
Yeah.
To clean it even more.
Right. Well, clean it up as in, make it more professional looking. Like, right now, there's TV box and stuff like that.
Got the box. You just gotta get the TV now.
We gotta clean it up and get some things going towards recording stuff for video as well, because that's a big thing now. People like watching on YouTube and stuff.
Watching since this podcast came back. I mean, I'll tell a little bit about my listenership. I mean, I listened to the first few episodes of this way back, in 2019.
Mm.
And then I've listened to the most recent couple of episodes as well. And the podcast has come a long way, but also podcast listeners have come a long way.
The things that they expect, the things that they like. I mean, I listen to a lot of podcasts as well, and they, even when they first start off, they might not have the video aspect of it, but they embrace it pretty quickly.
Within 20 episodes.
Usually, yeah. Like the It's Always Sunny podcast, I don't believe they started with cameras. I think they just started
10 or 15 episodes to get into that.
And then they went into the videos, and now they lean pretty heavily into the videos. It's a lot of sight gags and stuff now, too, which unfortunately alienates the listener a little bit, but at the same time, they're like, well, just go and watch it. That's 3D chess right there.
That's
on
exactly
how we're doing it. Well, as far as that first half kickoff question, that's pretty cool. I got into Elden Ring. I played through it once. I started to play through it again.
Some of the harder bosses.
I started to play through it again, but carrying a new character or carrying the same character over into it, I found it was way easier, and there's
yeah,
the challenge.
The new game plus,
yeah, the challenge
yeah,
wasn't quite there.
Everything.
Yeah, and then I leveled up so much in the first game that the first playthrough that I was just running over people. And yeah, so I haven't played that game in a while. I played through the first Mass Effect about a month ago, and then lately I've just been playing Red Dead Redemption 2 again.
Is that the remastered Mass Effect?
Yeah. The collectors, whatever, the trilogy of all of them.
Oh.
It's on, it was free on Game Pass, so
Stealing gaming.
Game Pass, fantastic. If you guys want to be a sponsor, please feel free to get at me, because I love your product, and I don't know what you give us, but, I enjoy
it. The great value.
Great value.
We love it here on the Fantasy
Football Friends. Yeah. All right. So that's the first half. Second half kickoff question, just to get a general baseline for where we should start this conversation. Do you know football, so you know the positions.
I know, yeah. There's about 10 or 11 guys. They line up against 10 or 11 other guys, and, one of the guys has to throw the ball to the other guy.
Yeah.
Get it across some arbitrary line.
There's somebody usually runs the ball at some point.
They'll run it.
Yeah, people catch the ball.
Yeah, sometimes we are Marshall.
There is the, you got to remember the Titans as well.
Yes, thank you.
And then
forgot about that.
No, you just can't. That's the one thing you don't do is you have to remember the Titans. You also, there's Rudy. Everybody loves Rudy. I mean, they carry him off on their shoulders at the end of that movie. That's Samwise Gamgee. I mean, everybody loves him getting carried off. He plays Rudy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Samwise from Lord of the Rings.
He gets a ring?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't think.
To the mountain?
No, Frodo takes it to the mountain. I don't think Frodo's in that movie.
No, well, Frodo.
This is what he did before he went to the Shire. Was he was playing football for Notre Dame?
Yeah. And he brought the championship ring, which.
And then Sauron wanted, and then they had to go and throw it in the mountain. So it is what it is. I mean, sometimes you. It's a crazy game, man, especially fantasy football. I mean, that's high fantasy football right there.
That's
rough.
What I understand about fantasy football is you pick players that are in the current league, that are actively playing, And
well, you could pick players that aren't actively playing, but well, I wouldn't recommend that.
But not retired players.
Yeah. No, every year there's at least one person that's not paying attention in the draft. My main league, we've been playing for a little over 10 years now. There's always at least one person. It's typically the same person. And whether he's listening or not, I'm sorry, Kirk, to call you out on this. But yeah, he frequently will draft somebody that either like just retired or just got injured with a season-ending injury or something, and we're all just like, all right, well, that's who you want to put on the board.
That's funny. I have a friend named Kirk that is actually a star fantasy player.
Oh, really?
He always comes in first in his leagues. He's huh. Everybody, all the other people in the league in this group chat, they talk about he's a math genius. He's big into economics, physics, and studying equations. And
oh, that's not this Kirk.
He uses sort of, okay, that does sound like a different
one. I was just going to say, maybe he keeps all of his knowledge for that league and doesn't play it right now. No, that's... clearly a different Kirk, but I do love you, Kirk, if you are listening out there. Thank you. Yeah.
I love you, too.
Anyway, but yeah, no, you draft players that are currently playing. You fill your roster. So we'll just go ahead and transfer this right into the main crux of the episode, the meat and potatoes. Basically, to start, you have to have a general understanding of football. Which, you know football. We know football.
Yeah, I don't know every player.
Right. Well, and the good thing is about fantasy football, you don't really have to know all the players and stuff when you first start. You just need to have... The best thing that I could recommend for a new person when you're going into a draft for your league is to have... You can go online. You can go to... CBS has, their rankings. There's other podcasts out there that have rankings posted and stuff. I'll have
This is the podcast you're going to want to come to.
Of course, yes. I will have my podcast, my personal rankings up at some point before the season gets kicked off, before we get into the main season of drafting and stuff. I do have my projections for quarterback and wide receiver done. I'll probably work on my running back projections this weekend. So I'll have all that done. That'll give me a good baseline to start for my... for my rankings, the actual rankings, and once I have that, I'll post them out there. You'll take that list into your draft, and then you start drafting your players. So a basic, just your average friends and family league is typically, as far as the breakdown goes, dependent on what site you use to play the game. Yahoo is what we started with my main league. That's one that's I've heard a lot of people use. I like Yahoo enough. It's my favorite out of the core ones that people use. I've played on ESPN. Not a fan of their the way that their UI is. It's just not very intuitive. We ran into a lot of problems with that in the league that I played in. Not a fan of ESPN. Not a huge fan of NFL either. It doesn't have a lot of the features that the other ones do. It's been a long time since I've used either of those, but back in the day, they were garbage. And every year I see posts from people that are like, well, I can't pick up somebody because the servers are down for ESPN and NFL. Or something goes wrong on game day, and now all of a sudden somebody's like, well, I'm winning. And then they fix whatever the problem is, and the stats change.
Numbers gone down.
Right, and then they're losing. So it's like, that's not...
People play for money, especially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, so I don't recommend either of those two. I have heard decent things about the CBS fantasy football platform. But what I recommend for everybody that's getting started with it is actually the Sleeper app. The Sleeper app's really good. I remember when the app came out for the first time. Oh man, it's probably 8 years ago or so now. Seven, 8 years ago.
Sepia tones.
Because Sepia, then we're in Mexico. Sepia's Mexico. Yeah, exactly. See, that's what I'm saying. That's more Mexican. We want slightly black and white, but with some blues and stuff, I think,
Yeah, piano player in the background.
Sure. That site, back when it first came out, was actually only a way to get up-to-date information on players. Like, when somebody would tweet something out fantasy football-related, that site was an aggregate, would go and pull it, and then push it to your phone. So I would be getting news about player injuries, injury updates, trades, things like that, like, the minute the story broke. the technology has gotten better. People communicate better. So now other sites are a little bit better about getting that news out there. So you don't get that advantage so much if you're just on Sleeper for the news. But they have put in a lot of work to make sure that their hosting for fantasy leagues is really good. Plus, if you don't have a league and you want to find a league, Gesundheit. If you don't have a league and you want to find a league, they have all sorts of, you know, forums on the app that you can go and find people looking to fill leagues. So even if you don't have a league and you just want to dip your toes in the fantasy football world, go get Sleeper, go find a league. You're listening to this podcast, so that's already got you going in the right direction. If you have any questions, like I said, just send them this way. We'll talk about them on air. But that's a good way to get started. Then the next thing is the breakdown of the positions that you play. Standard leagues are typically one QB, two wide receivers, two running backs, a tight end, a kicker, and a defense. The reason for this is that that's fairly close to what you would have on a real field at any given time. My preference for a closer to standard league is to do one QB, three wide receivers. And the reason for three wide receivers there is because there are so many out there that it pulls more off of the waiver wire, which we'll get into that a little bit later. And it incentivizes more trading and activity with that function. So three wide receivers, two running backs, a tight end. I like to have a flex position in there. Now, a flex position is a position that can be, you can set this up and it can be any combination of them, but typically a flex position is either a wide receiver, a running back, or a tight end. So your three main skill positions. You can plug any of those in there. So I like having a flex position because, again, that pulls some of the talent off the waiver wire. You have to hold more people on your bench. Makes for more strategy, and it also puts you in a position where you have to work with other team, with other fantasy managers in your league to do trades, because you can't just go to the waiver wire and pick people up and immediately throw them into your lineup. So, and then, like I said, the kicker and the defense. Won't focus too much on kickers and defenses. Personally, I don't like having a kicker position in the leagues that I run. 3 or 4 years ago, I was able to convince my league that I commish for to get rid of the kicker position. There's just a lot of there's a huge range of outcomes for any given kicker. The best thing to look for if you have a kicker position, and I'll just go through this real quick. You want a kicker, look at their schedule. If they're playing the majority of the year in a domed stadium, which means there's no chance for weather to affect their kicks, that's a guy you want to go after. The other thing you want to look for is a team that you think will be able to get down the field but won't be able to punch it in. So teams that are able to move the ball but aren't able to score, they're going to end up kicking more field goals, which gets you more points. So those are the two things that I would look for in a kicker if your league has kickers, which the majority of them do. So, but again, if you ever have any questions about which kickers I'm liking for the week, you can hit me up. I'll be able to give you some choices on them. Just because I don't like them doesn't mean that I don't pay any attention to them. All that sounding pretty good so far?
I'm taking notes.
Cool. So the next thing after the format of the structure for what you'll have in your league, what you'll be playing on any given week, is your scoring format. Now there's two different scoring formats attached to the quarterback position. And there's not really a quote-unquote standard for them. It just kind of, I think it was based in the back in the day on what site you played on. They just defaulted to one or the other. Nowadays, you can pick and choose, and I'm sure there's data on it, which one's more quote-unquote standard, but there's usually either 4 point per passing touchdown leagues and 6 point per passing touchdown leagues. So those are the points that your QB gets back when he throws a touchdown.
For every pass they get four
six. For every passing touchdown they throw. Touchdown. So, yeah, as soon as they throw that touchdown, they either get 4 or 6 points. Now, the reason that there's two different sides of this, and what matters about that difference is the strategy involved in picking your QB for either league if you're in a 4 point per passing touchdown league, you're going to want to favor players that might run in touchdowns because they're going to get 6 points for those. So say a QB, say you have QBA, he throws two touchdowns, and you've got QBB, he runs one in and he throws one. Now, if you're in a 4 point per passing touchdown league, quarterback A gets 8 points for those touchdowns. Quarterback B gets 10. So if they're going to, if they have the potential to run more in,
pick the runner.
It also translates to, here's a big thing. So scoring as well. The default for scoring for skill position players outside of the QB, and technically inside the QB as well, because they get running points too. For every 1 yard, you get a tenth of a point. So for every 10 yards, you get 1 point. Right. Yeah. So, and that's
down.
That's because, yeah, it's connected to actual football where you need 10 yards to get the next down. Right. To continue. So, if a QB, the QB is different though. If they're passing the ball, it takes 25 yards worth of passing to get 1 point. So again, QBA throws for 25 yards. He gets 1 point. QBB runs for 25 yards. He gets 2.5 points.
Right.
So again, favors the running QB even more. It gets a little bit more balanced when you go to 6 point per passing touchdown, because now it doesn't matter whether the QB is running that touchdown in or he's passing it. He gets 6 points regardless. The difference is that if he rushes it in, he gets more points for the yard. Like say he throws a 10 yard pass and it's a touchdown. That only gets him the 6 points plus 10 out of 25 to a new point. Fractions. I don't know. So if that makes sense. But if he ran at the 10, yeah, so now you're at 7 points.
Right.
So, you know, that's a different strategy for that. That's why it's really popular now to hyper-target running quarterbacks. Those are typically higher up in the rankings for what you want to go for. That's going to be your Lamar Jacksons, your Kyler Murrays, your Jalen Hurts. Josh Allen doesn't run quite as much anymore, but he's still kind of, you know, he's the number one ranked QB right now because he's a monster, but he still runs a little bit. And that leaves your quarterbacks down at the bottom of those rankings, of pretty much all rankings, that only throw. They don't run at all. That's going to be like your Mac Jones. Tom Brady is a special case because he throws so much and throws so many touchdowns, he makes up for his lack of mobility.
Oh, yeah.
He just doesn't need it because he throws so many touchdowns. So, but there are those QBs down at the bottom. Let me see. I do have my QB list pulled up. So,
let's see that list.
QBs at the bottom. Mac Jones, like I just said, doesn't run a whole lot. Also doesn't end up throwing a whole lot of touchdowns. I talked about this on the last episode that I did where we discussed our AFC East breakdown. That team is heavily defensive oriented, so they don't really rely on their QB that much. So as far as my projections go, I'm projecting that going forward, he's not going to throw that much. He's not going to score that much. He's at the very bottom. Matt Ryan, older QB, pocket passer, doesn't run that much. Jared Goff also doesn't run that much, but doesn't have a good offense around him either. So he's down at the bottom. Carson Wentz, unfortunately for his career, he has also become a pocket passer. He does not run nearly as much as he used to. And then one of my favorite pocket passers is actually Davis Mills on the Texans. He doesn't run, or based on last year, doesn't run like at all. But I think that that'll change a little bit this year. I think that they'll have to have him run a little bit. I mean, you have to think, all you have to do is run 12 yards a game, and by the end of the year you have 200 points. That's 20 extra points overall, so you don't have to run that much to rack up some good points. So those are just some examples of some QBs that don't rush, but, you know, are pocket passers, and that's why they're
running QBs. They probably don't have as long as a career, right? I mean, that must be more difficult.
Typically, yes, that is the case, which is why, and I'm glad you bring that up, because that's why, and that highlights why Josh Allen doesn't run as much anymore. His first year in the league,
you learn not to.
He hurts. he wasn't the best passer. So they brought in a specialized coach, a passing quarterback coach, to kind of hone that in. He honed that in. That was his second year. He did great. He was running and throwing very well. This last year, he has not run. He didn't run nearly as much, and I think that's not just a him thing. Because I'm sure as an athlete, you want to do whatever you have to win.
Oh,
I think that
strategy has to evolve and grow.
I think that's more of
a professional
coaching thing. Coaches don't want him to run because they want him to be around as long as he can. Like I think that's more or less where he is. But I'm glad you brought that up because that really highlights his thing. Whereas you have Lamar Jackson on the other side, who in his career has not been a prolific passer, but he's so good on the ground, like that's what he is. So they're probably not going to change that much, but he's also probably not going to have as long of a full-time starting career. He'll probably end up being something like a Cam Newton once he's been in the league for 10, 12 years or something like that, because his legs won't be able to carry him as well as they were.
But not a Brady.
But no, yeah, I mean, he... Who knows? There's a lot of good coaches out there, a lot of guys that work with these QBs that aren't as good as passing. And things change.
Science is incredible.
Things change a lot year to year. We could be talking about Lamar Jackson in a couple years, and maybe he becomes a great passer, like one of those people that we talk about as one of the great passers, and not just about a guy that runs a whole lot. So that's the breakdown of the QB... The QBs and how they get their points, and also a quick breakdown of how wide receivers and running backs get the main bulk of their points. Like I said, QBs through the air takes 25 yards to get a point. Wide receivers, running backs, if they catch the ball or run the ball, only takes 10 yards to get a point. The next thing that you have to get into really is what is known as points per reception. Now, PPR. To shorten it up, PPR. So you have your standard leagues, which they're called standard leagues because this is the way that it was back in the day. That was the easiest way to do things. So that's what the grand majority of leagues did, was standard, where you don't get any extra points regardless of how, like, if you catch a ball, you just get the points for whatever yardage you went with the ball, if that makes sense. So that's standard. Then there's two levels of PPR. There's half point PPR and there's full point PPR. Both are exactly the same though, except for the amount of points you get per reception. So in standard, if you're playing in a standard league, quarterback throws the ball, it goes 10 yards, guy catches it. That guy in a standard league, if he gets tackled right there on the 10-yard line, that guy gets 1 point. In a PPR league, he would get 1.5 points or 2 points, depending on whether it's a half point or a full point.
Just for the catch.
Just for the catch on top of the yardage. Right. So, because he went 10 yards, so he gets 1 point for that. Then he gets 0.5 points and a half point, or he gets a full another point in a full point per reception. Depending on which kind of league you play in, I like half point just because I think it makes everything really fair. Every skill position is very balanced at that point. Getting into whole PPR, that kind of elevates players that... The one good thing about it is it elevates players that maybe they don't get a whole lot of yardage, but they get a lot of short area targets. So say you're on a new set of downs, you've got 10 yards to go. They work the middle of the field, they only get 5 yards, and they just kind of dink and dunk down the field that way. Now that player might get a decent amount of yardage all the way down. Say they go 50 yards with him, and it's just 1 5-yard pass after another. Now, if they go 50 yards, that's 5 points in a regular league. However, if it's a full point per reception, if he caught 10 passes, or I guess if he went 5 yards each time, it would have to be 20 passes. That's 20 extra points on top of that guy just gets, just for catching the 20 balls. Did he go that far? Not really. But now he's a viable player because he's getting all those receptions. So if you're playing in a full point PPR league, it's not a bad idea to go after those slot receivers that aren't going to get the yardage but are going to get heavily targeted and catch a lot of balls. So that's a pretty quick breakdown of the general scoring. Kickers for scoring, I've seen it put in a lot of different ways. I think standard is you get you get like 3 points for a field goal. It's just like in actual football. You get 3 points for a field goal. You get 1 point if it's a field goal. No, if it's the point after.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, we know how football works here.
Yeah. I talk so fast sometimes that I get caught over my words.
He's got a little cooling device that it's you can probably hear it in the background. It's a water
cooler. Yeah.
Equipped to his vocal cords. So.
Yeah, it's actually full of whiskey right now though, so that's probably why.
It does. It's better for cooling. So.
Yeah, it turns out it's a little bit thicker, so it helps.
Yeah, the temperature.
Yeah,
exactly. it's a behind the scenes.
It's a football podcast, not a technical podcast, so that's why we don't know. We don't know the. Yeah, yeah. I don't know how those things work. But anyway, yeah. So kickers, typically that's their point breakdown. Again, not a huge fan. Defenses range is so much because most platforms give you the ability to customize your scoring just dramatically. So like you'll get points for sacks. Typically in most of the leagues that I play in, you'll get like a point for per sack. You get a point for forcing a fumble. If you get that fumble back, I want to say my main leagues, it's like 3 points if you're able to recover the fumble. And then if you catch an interception, it's like 4 points. And then if you score, that's 6 points there. So, like, theoretically, you could intercept the ball and then score and get, you know, 10 points off of that. So, but that's going to be highly, highly specific to your league.
Everybody likes to do a little adjustment.
Yeah, basically. And it's been a long time since I've played with default settings, so I'm just not sure off the top of my head what the default setting for those are. But, yeah, it's basically, like, your commissioner can set that up however he wants to. So if you go into a league and you're not used to, you know, if you're going in cold to a new league.
Funny you say that because I actually am planning on joining a league this week with a group of friends. I think they have one slot left.
Nice.
One of those people is the famed Kirk.
Yeah. Oh man. So we're gonna have to keep
not this Kirk. Hi Kirk, if you're listening.
Right. Not my Kirk, but your Kirk. We're gonna have to keep this show a secret for the season from them and see if.
I'll tell everybody else, but not them.
Yeah, or not them. And if we're able to take down Kirk, then you tell them, oh well, I got
credit where credit's due.
Right. That you can say, well, I was working with the fantasy football friends, and they helped lead me to a championship. I can't promise championship, but I think I can probably get you to the playoffs at least. That's a lot easier. Yeah, so that's fun. That'll be really cool. That'll be something that we can kind of track the progress of throughout the season and stuff,
exactly,
and see where things are. Do you know when you guys are gonna draft? Or
I really don't. But I think they're looking for a couple more people right now, and I think they have one or two slots left. So
okay,
probably
cool.
Pretty soon, I would imagine.
Nice. I did. I reached out, or I posted something on the Tallahassee subreddit about starting a league, and I was like looking for other people that might be interested in podcasting. So I'll be hosting a league of local Tallahassee people too. I'm trying to get some more people into that. So like, if the people in your league want to join another league as well, I have a full 12-man league, and then I have 3 more people waiting in the wings. So if we could get another
12, usually the
12 is what I like to run with. Okay, so that's a great question.
That's what they're doing too.
Size of the league can also wide range.
They were going to do 10 originally, and they said they should expand to 12.
So here's the thing: the more people that you have in the league, the more competitive it is to get skilled players. So the smallest amount that I've ever seen a league actually play with and people enjoy it is 8 people. Anything less than that isn't considered much of a league because, I mean,
you get all the all-stars.
Everybody's team is just loaded with all-stars. And there's at that point, there's really no reason to trade anybody because your bench of players is all going to be good. Like, everybody's just going to have rock stars. It doesn't facilitate very much inter-league movement of players, which is what I'm, as a commissioner, that's like my biggest goal, is to try to make sure that people are trading, that people are picking up. Yeah. Well, I mean, and to be fair, I think that's the most fun part about playing fantasy football, is going out and making those deals with people. Like, I'm all for trying to, like,
hey, I'll give you this player for these 2 guys.
Yeah, figuring out deals that work best for us. That's my favorite part about fantasy football. So that's kind of why I like to facilitate
that
as much.
And you have to, as the commissioner, be in charge of those deals to make sure it's fair.
We'll come back to that question. Because that's a good question as well. But before we get back to that one, I'll just finish the size of the league. So 8-man's a little bit small. That's probably as small as I would recommend going with a league. That's fine if you're playing with your family or you're playing with just friends who don't care that much. That's the perfectly fine size to do. 10-man is what I would say should be the like, that's actually, that's for me, that would be the minimum of a league that I actually try and strive to do good in. 10-man league. 12 is what I think should be industry standard. 12 gets you that nice level where as long as you have enough roster slots, the talent on the waiver wire is still decent. Like, you can still find people, but you can't just pick up. If we could just stop
down real quick and get into that word waiver wire.
Oh, okay. Sure. The waiver wire, that is where anybody, that's where free agents are. That is where you can go and pick up players that aren't already assigned to somebody's team. So just like the regular NFL, if you have a person that you're trying to get rid of on your team, you're not signing them to a new contract or something, you release them, they get dropped to the waiver wire, and then whichever team has priority, same in fantasy, whichever team has the priority, the ranked priority, gets first crack at picking them up. So, and then
priority on the waiver wire?
On the waiver wire, yeah. So typically on the waiver wire, so you can pick up anybody that you want. So typically the way that it works in the leagues that I've been in is that you'll start and everybody, after you draft, essentially everybody's at the same level. Everybody has the same, a lot of times they'll do it reverse rank of position for drafting. So if you drafted last, if you were in a 12-man league and you drafted 12th, you'd have top priority on the waiver wire. And then it would go down in reverse to the lowest person, the person who drafted the first position. They get the lowest priority. Now, if you make a pickup off the waiver wire, you get dropped down to the bottom. So if you're first and you pick somebody up, you get dropped down to the bottom.
Back in the line.
Basically, yeah. And it's just a cycle of, you know, people either every week it's basically, okay, well, first didn't pick somebody up. He stays in first. Second did pick somebody up, so he goes to the back of the line. Third picked somebody up, so he's down behind second. But say fourth picked up, second picked up two people and third only picked up one. So the way that it would go down, first stays where they are, second goes to the end of the line, third goes to the end of the line, behind second, but then second picks somebody else up. So now
you can't pick three people in a row.
You can, but he'd go back to the very bottom of the priority list.
Okay.
So if you pick up two people and everybody else only picks up one, you're not going to be second, you'll be last because you picked up another person. Again. Yeah, so it's just every single time you pick up somebody, you get moved to the back of the list. Unless everybody picks up the same amount of people and then the list stays the same.
Okay, thank you. That's been a waiver wire explanation segment.
Waiver wires. Well, okay, so that's actually just dipping your toes into the waiver wire because then you also have, the way that it works is you'll have free agency. Typically, waiver wires run, that is, throughout the weekend, once the games start, everybody is locked in on their waiver. You can't pick them up once the game starts. You can put a bid in for them. You can basically claim them without taking them off the waiver wire. If your priority isn't high enough, whoever with the highest priority gets them. So if you're fifth and the person in first wants that player, that person gets that player. Waivers typically run Tuesday night, depending on which platform you use, at around 3 a.m. because it's all West Coast, unfortunately.
Oh, man.
So midnight. So you'll put in your picks, your waiver targets from Sunday through Tuesday night, and then depending on your priorities and your where you lock into the waiver wire rankings, you'll either get your guys or you might.
Hasn't picked it up first yet.
Right. So that's a more rounded way to use the waiver wire, how you use it. One of the things that you can also do in your league, and I think this makes it a little bit more fair, instead of having priorities set that way, you can do what's called a FAB system, and that's free agent acquisition budget. So you're given a set dollar amount at the beginning of the season that you can then use throughout the season to place bids on players. So say there is a running back, starting running back, he's out there, he gets injured. Now the backup looks good. He's going to be in line for a lot more touches. You want that backup. Now, if you're in a normal waiver wire league, you are, say you're last. You're probably not going to get that guy because everybody else is looking at him. If you're in a fab league, you really want that guy. You can throw all your money at him. I mean, it adds another level of challenge and strategy to the whole thing because you have a whole season you have to get through. You don't want to blow.
Right.
You don't want to blow your budget.
At the start.
Right.
But
yeah, you don't want to spend. Typically, it's either $100 and people will bid like $1 on people, or it's $1,000 and then you go $100 on somebody.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. Really so. So you don't want to blow your entire budget on the first week. I mean, you can if you really feel like
not
that.
Not responsible. Don't do that. Listeners,
I don't recommend it.
Blow your entire budget the first week.
Especially since if you play well and you make it to the playoffs, you're gonna want some of that money because you're gonna want
to
pick up
get more money through the season.
Typically, no. Some leagues will allow you to some people will allow you to trade fab as part of a deal with other players. So say you're trying to trade for somebody, you want their player, they want two of your players, or say we'll say that backwards. Say I want two of your players, you want one of mine. Say you don't have any fab left, but I have all of my fab. Maybe we work out a deal where I get your two players, you get my player, and 50% of my
fab coming my way.
And 50% of my fab, or something like that.
50%, that's a pretty good deal.
So, so that's what I'm saying, though. Some leagues allow you to trade your fab, so you can actually get more throughout the year. Again.
But you don't play with the fab, so you play with just priorities.
My main dynasty league that I commish for has fab. My main redraft league that I commission for, I'm co-commissioners in that league, and I have not been able to convince my co-commissioner and the rest of the league to switch to fab. I think fab is better. I think it's more fair, but it took 3 years to convince them to drop kickers. And my next big thing is getting rid of tight ends. I'd rather just add another flex position instead of a tight end dedicated position.
Your dream is basically 9 flex positions.
Not 9. I wide receiver and running back, I understand. Tight end, as far as the position goes in the game, you're either one of the 3 to 4 elite level tight ends, or you're pretty much in the same basket as everybody else. And it's a lot like kickers, where any given week, you're hoping after that top tier that you get lucky and catch a touchdown. So you can put in the thought process of, well, this guy is on the field more. He might get more targets. You could go that route, or you could go the route, well, this guy's brought in on certain packages, so he's more likely to get looked at. He's on the goal line. He's more likely to get that touchdown. The problem is that a lot of tight ends block a lot too, and there's a lot of things that go into whether or not a tight end is actually going to consistently get those points. So for me, I'd rather it be a flex position, and you can say, hey, if you want to play a tight end there, you're more than welcome to, but you don't have to. You know, that's the way that I look at that. That's why I don't like kickers either, just because, again, there's so much variables in it. When I first started playing, there were weeks where I lost because my opponent's kicker went off for like 30 points. And it's like, well, he didn't know that was going to happen. He just happened to have the same kicker all season, and this is the first time he's done anything like this.
Well, that's the only way anyone wins the fantasy leagues. From what I hear in my group, is that they get lucky.
Yeah. Okay. Over and over. So that's a good philosophical question about football. Fantasy football, the way that I look at it is, it takes skill to get to the playoffs. It takes luck to win the playoffs. So, because it's a grind of every week and you have a different opponent and you can change who you're starting and everything, it takes the skill to build the right team throughout the year to get to the playoffs. Now, once you get to the playoffs, it's a lot of luck, because all it takes to get knocked out of the playoffs at that point is to have your starting running back, who was like an anchor for your team, pulling in 30 points a week, get injured that first week.
Which happens.
Get you 1 point, and then you lose and you're out of the playoffs. Like, that's all it takes. So that's why it still takes some skill once you make it to the playoffs and to the championship.
In
but
terms
it,
of trading and...
Trading, building the right team.
Yeah.
And then, but once you make it there it's a lot of luck. You're really just hoping that there's no screwy, my guy went out and tore his ACL. And
which happens all the time.
Exactly. So it's tough. But that's, to me, philosophically, that's the way that I look at how things go. So that's why I was saying earlier when I was like, well, we can work together, and I'd put a decent amount of money down that I can get you to the playoffs. We can work and get to the playoffs.
Have to put down a little bit of money. Now, thankfully, you do pay all your guests very well.
Very, very lucrative. Yes.
I was surprised. I had to actually have an armored car escort me.
Yeah, well, you know.
Just to the bank, obviously. But.
With the amount of high-quality equipment and things in here, it's only right to pay you guys what you're worth.
You have to, yeah. This is quite a studio, listeners. I can't wait for you to see it.
Yeah, so I'm fairly certain that I can get you to the playoffs. Championship, that's a little bit more luck.
We'll see.
I mean, you build the right team and you hope you make it. But
how far is the playoffs away from the start of the season?
So that's another thing that is going to depend by league. So some leagues, typically the standard setting is that, before we went to a 18-week standard season, you would start your playoffs in week 15 because you want your playoffs done week 15 and 16 because week 17 was like the last game of the main season before they got into the playoffs. That game, if your team has like, if your real NFL team has locked in a playoff position, they probably aren't playing all their starters because why risk getting them injured? So you don't want to be in a position where you've had, and that would be your championship league. Say you started week 16 and 17, where your champion, your playoff, and then championship weeks. It would really suck to have Josh Allen is your number one QB. They've locked down their playoff berth by week 17, so he doesn't play at all. So you get no points from him. And then you lose.
Then you write him a nasty letter.
Yeah. Just to throw this out there, this podcast does not support anybody after the players. Please leave the players alone. They don't.
Write nice letters, if anything.
Yeah. Even if they let you down, write them a nice letter. They're taking it harder than you are because you're playing a fantasy game.
It's your fault for picking them.
Yeah. Well, so, obviously.
Let's look back at ourselves a little bit.
Yes, don't be that guy. No, don't be mean on Twitter and stuff. There's no need for it. These guys know.
Go out and be nice to somebody.
Right. Go out and hug a tree or I was going to say don't hug a person that you don't know cuz you might
do not hug anybody you don't know.
Yeah, let's just not hug people. Maybe you know, keep it to your loved ones.
You know, the past couple of years, hugs have really gone out of fashion.
Yeah, give a nice respectful fist bump, maybe from a ways.
You can do it. A lot of people are fist bumping.
Fist bumps, man. Yeah,
it's coming over handshakes.
Because dude, who wants to grip somebody's hand? I don't know where your hands have been. Yeah, that's a lot.
But, you know, I'm good on that. I mean, obviously, we're still.
Yeah, still coming off of
it.
So,
so we'll get into the playoffs.
So that's, it's actually, and I was thinking about this while we were just discussing it. One of the guys in my main redraft league, we nicknamed him Bleep Lord. And it's because the first year that he was in the league, he paid a company to basically manage his team. The company would tell him who to pick up off the waivers. It would tell him, rank, I guess, or break down trade offers that came in, or it would tell him who to go after for trades and stuff.
Was this a friends league?
I mean, yeah, this was a friends league, and it wasn't even for that much money. I want to say I won the championship.
That was my next question. Did he win?
No. I think he made it to the playoffs, but he got knocked out. But that's what I was going to say, is that most of those companies, and I think it was Draft Sharks, I think, is who he used for that. And there are other companies out there that you can pay to, like, give you tips while you're going. Like, they'll analyze your team and they'll tell you, like, oh, well, I think your running back position is weak right now. Maybe you go off and pick up somebody off the waiver wire or try to make a trade for a better running back. Like, there are those companies. And then there are companies that, like, pretty much run your entire team. Like, all you're doing is
the
you give them all your information and they can log in and do your whole thing.
Is that fun?
That's what I was thinking and that's why we still call him Bleep Lorp to this day, is because, you know, we're not going to let him forget the fact that he came in.
If you're listening, Bleep Lorp, you're doing well out there.
He's doing all right. He's a lawyer now, so, I mean, he's doing okay. Yeah, what's up, Bleep Orb? But yeah, those companies that like manage your team, like what he did, they will pretty much guarantee to make it to the playoffs or your money back. Once you make it to the playoffs.
How much do those companies charge for that sort of service?
I want to say he paid like $100, somewhere between $100 and $200. Which again was pretty funny because I think that our payout for our league was like 150 for first place or something like that.
It was a questionable
decision. But again, it was just for fun. I think that I want to say that he had never played fantasy football before and he was just joining because he was joining to play with his friends. So
he's got all this lawyer money sitting around.
Oh, well, he didn't have lawyer money back then. This was broke Justin at FSU School of Law.
He had a severe debt.
Yeah, so.
Fantasy football team lose to Cameron's in the championship.
Yeah. He lost that year and the year after. I think I was back-to-back champion in that league, and ever since then I've been in the playoffs, but I haven't won, unfortunately. But
how are you feeling this year?
Well, we haven't drafted yet, so it's hard to say. But since 3 years ago, 2019, when I was doing this podcast, this is the most engaged that I've been with the data and the players that are out there. So I'm feeling pretty good right now going into this. I also have my Dynasty League that I've won the last 2 years, and my team hasn't changed a whole lot. In fact, I think it's gotten a little bit better, so I'm pretty confident in that one making it. Just a quick aside, difference between Redraft and Dynasty, there are three different types of leagues you can get into. There's Redraft, which is your standard, every season you draft a whole new team. Everybody drafts a whole new team. Then there's Keeper, a Keeper league, and this will change from league to league, whatever your people want to have it is. Usually you set one to three, maybe more positions that you're going to roll into the next year. You can keep those guys, but everybody else on your team goes back to the pool for people to draft out of. So if you've got like three people that you feel very confident in, you get to keep them. And typically those people, you have to give up whatever round, either whatever round you drafted them in, or if you pick them up off the waiver wire, they're worth a last round pick. Or then they put penalties on it too, where it's sometimes it'll be, say you drafted a guy in the third round, you want to keep him for next year. Now he's going to cost you a second rounder. So, again, that's all very league-specific to your league. But a keeper league, when it's boiled down to, is you keep just a small number of the players from your actual team. Now, a dynasty league is the closest thing, in my opinion, that you can get to running an actual NFL franchise in that you keep your entire team
year to year.
Year to year. Also, just because football's not going on, as long as the rest of the league mates in your league are engaged and actually like paying attention and stuff, you can still do trades and things like that in the off season. So like I was just saying, I've made some moves this off season for my team that I think heavily benefit me. I traded before the news broke that he might be suspended. I traded Alvin Kamara and Aaron Rodgers for Russell Wilson and Joe Mixon. So I still think Aaron Rodgers is going to be a good QB this year. He's a Hall of Famer. I think he gets the job done. Russell Wilson moved into a very good position where he's at in Denver now, so I'm much higher on him this year than Rodgers. So I feel like I won that part. And then, again, this was before the news that the suspension would come out, which makes me even more a winner now that it is broken that he might be suspended for up to 6 games. But Alvin Kamara is on a team where I just don't see a whole lot of fantasy output. Joe Mixon's on a Super Bowl contending team, so I feel pretty good about that upgrade there. So, and then I think I gave up a second round pick this year in our rookie draft as well.
Off season stuff. Points for a Twitter post that gets a certain amount of likes.
Unfortunately not. You could probably set that up.
I'm sure there are some leagues out there like that.
That would actually sounds a little bit fun and be like, if your player posts something like super controversial and it gets some
really viral this week.
Yeah, let's you get 6 points.
Wow, this is 6 points for the viral. Okay.
And just like count it throughout the entire off season and then tally the points that your team got in the off season. season for all their posts and stuff, and then see who wins. Somebody gets something. For example, one of the players that I have on that Dynasty League, he just posted something about, I don't remember the start of it, but he was kind of ranting, and he went into, yes, I believe the Earth is flat. No, I don't believe we've been to the moon. And I was like, oh, AJ, no, don't say that, my guy.
Just as a disclaimer, we want to make sure that everyone knows that we did go to the moon. It was very nice up there.
Yeah.
We're looking forward to going back soon.
I don't really know that we're going to go back, just because I don't think there's
a base there.
I don't think that there's really resources that we would want to like set up like a mining base or anything like that. Like, I just don't think that there's money to be had in it, which I think money is what's going to drive everything for it. So it's like, if we can't make money off of it. Now, if a company was like, oh, I can go up there and brand the moon and I put a Nike swoosh.
You just put a Nike swoosh on it. You can buy an acre of the moon, I think, from certain websites.
Is that the same thing as when you buy a star? When you buy a star?
A tree somewhere in Syria and put my name on it.
I feel the same way about that. And I just got an email. It's been a couple months now, but it reminded me, I guess, 10 years ago, I signed up to become an ordained minister.
Oh, did that finally come through?
No, I went through 10 years ago, but I've been an ordained minister for 10 years. I don't know. I completely forgot. I know. I should be out there marrying people.
Yeah, a lot of souls.
Yeah, so that's another thing you can hit us up with on our Twitter or the email me if you you want me to come and
need a minister.
Yeah, if you want me to come and officiate your wedding, I'm available. All you have to do is
reasonable rates.
Yeah, just travel and lodging and food.
A lot of really nice wedding venues in Tallahassee.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, like, I'll travel to you, but you got to pay the. Unless you want to come to Tallahassee.
First class.
Into our Tallahassee Regional Airport.
That's it. Actually, Tallahassee International Airport.
Oh, that's right. I saw that.
Big expansion.
We are really moving up.
We're a big city. Yeah. We're the capital.
We're a big town.
And we have an international airport.
We're a big town. I wouldn't even say city. We're town.
Half of a college.
Well, we're like 3/4 of a college because we have like several, but like
several colleges.
And
then the government.
And then, yeah.
And then a couple people live here and do normal stuff.
I think I have heard tale about people actually living here. Yeah. It's not all students, but it's rare.
We're growing.
Yeah. We're getting the word out. Well, yeah, we're about at an hour mark now. This is about the time we try to wrap things up. Do you have any last minute questions that I can hit at you with the Fantasy Football 101?
Oh, you know, I'm probably going to be writing you with questions all through the season. About trades, things that I should look at.
Well, I'm sure we'll have you back on the podcast again to throw down some stuff.
Yeah,
you know,
we're gonna
you know, I want updates on how things are going, and then we can just. You know, even if it's just a small segment that we throw into an episode, something, just checking up on you, seeing where we're going.
I mean,
you're essentially branded now. I mean, your team is
entirely using knowledge from the fantasy football friends.
So yeah, hopefully we can. I'll have to
reflection. My performance is a reflection of.
I'll have to show you. I'll share my projections with you and stuff. You can start looking at those and just getting a feel for names of players and stuff.
This really flew by.
That's an hour, man. You'd be surprised how quickly it goes through, and this is why it's so easy to end up with an episode that's like an hour and a half sometimes. And you're like, woo!
I mean, some of these podcasts out there, I see that 3-4 hours long.
Yeah, I like those sometimes, depending on the content, but a lot of times
I don't want to necessarily plug any of them right now.
Yeah,
There are
some good ones. We already plugged one. Oh, it's Always Sunny podcast, but they're never that. They're never that long.
They have a good length. They have
Megan, the producer of the show. Yeah. She's really good.
Obviously, we have producer Sandy here.
Producer Sandy, right? She's giving us the wrap it up now too. So that's cool. Perfect place to end. I think that we covered quite a bit. We covered a basic breakdown of team format, scoring formats for a couple different. Types of leagues, waiver wires, and how those work. You know, we didn't really talk about trades, but that's pretty straightforward. You offer this, they counter that, maybe you make a deal happen. Like I said, that's my favorite part of this whole thing. So, you know, when you're in your league, if that'll probably be where I'm able to help the most outside of just Well, this is what I think this player is going to do this week.
I'm going
to
need it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking forward to it. That's going to be a lot of fun. All right, guys. Well, that's going to be it for this episode of the Fantasy Football Friends. Once again, Elliot, thank you for joining me. If you guys want to, feel free to hit us up on Twitter, at FFBFriends. We're also on Gmail, theffbfriends@gmail.com. Always here for you guys. I'm going to be in the studio again very shortly with Chris for another divisional breakdown. So that episode should be out soon after hearing this. But again, thank you for listening. We hope you have a good one, and we will talk to you next time.
See through our lens. We don't follow the trends. Pave our own way. See where we stay, yeah. It's top of the leaderboard. About time we score. Pay attention, can't ignore these fantasy football friends. See through our lens. We don't follow the trends. Pave our own way. See where we stay. It's top of the leaderboard. About time we scored. Pay attention, can't ignore these fantasy football friends.